evening, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington. I'm actually broadcasting tonight from the office of American Free Press, the weekly newspaper from Capitol Hill here in Washington. Check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. Don't have any guests tonight, folks. Just a couple things to run by you. A couple things, I think, which will be of interest. And then we'll go to some phone calls. First of all, I just wanted to mention I got a very interesting email today from somebody who heard last night's broadcast in which I was recommending that people check out IamTheWitness.com, where you can get the book in its entirety, The Nameless War by Archibald Maul Ramsey, Arnold Leese's book Gentile Folly, The Rothschilds, which is probably one of the best honest books, not a long one, but an honest one about the history of the Rothschild family, as well as Waters Flowing Eastward, the fantastic book by L. Fry, that's a nom de plume of the late Paquita de Shishmaref, who was a very close friend of my good friend Tony Blizzard, who used to work for American Free Press. Well, I'm told by our emailer that those books, along with some other very interesting items, are available at another website called controversyofzion.com. Now, that address is just as it sounds, controversyofzion.com, except note this, folks, it's controversy-of-zion.com. So it's controversy-of-zion.com. This is the site of a gentleman by the name of Martin Blaine, B-L-A-I-N-E. I don't know Martin, but one of his fans wrote me an email today to mention that this material, plus a lot of other things, are available at controversy-of-zion.com. So I'm looking forward to checking out that website address. As I said last night, it's very, very important that a lot of these very, very rare and hard-to-find books and other materials are appearing now on the Internet, hopefully preserved forever as long as the Internet is free. And, of course, that's the big question, how long will the Internet be free? So I would say the thing to do, folks, is to get on the Internet and download these books or upload or whatever the term is and print them out, because a lot of them are out of print, and you're not going to get them anywhere but the Internet. So just a housekeeping note here for the record. That's controversy-of-zion.com, just like it sounds. Do check it out, folks. Anywhere you can get information, as long as it's good information, that counts. Speaking of information, good and bad, I just happened to see, as I was getting ready to come on the program tonight, a reprint of an item which is supposed to be from the March 17th, 1993 issue of the Congressional Record. It purports to be a speech by former Congressman Jim Traficant of Ohio, in which he says the United States is in bankruptcy, and it goes on and on at length talking about the Federal Reserve System. Now, this item has been circulating on the Internet for a long, long time, and it's been reprinted in a lot of places. But, folks, I'll tell you, I'm here to tell you that I'm not so sure that this is for real. Now, that's going to upset a lot of people, but we'll talk more about it when we come back. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper here. You're listening because you can handle the truth, and even if what you think is the truth may not be, that's why I'm here to tell you to be careful. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brother Mike. Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Hello. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here on this Tuesday night. I keep forgetting what night it is because of the holiday yesterday, but today is Tuesday night. Before we went to the break, I was talking about the necessity of good, solid information. And, you know, this item which purports to be a speech given by Jim Traficant, which is supposedly reprinted from the Congressional Record of March 17, 1993, which I have seen on the Internet many times, which I have seen printed in print publications. I'm here to tell you, folks, I don't believe that this is from the Congressional Record. I don't believe that Jim Traficant gave this speech. I think that somebody cooked this up and put it out there. It says a lot of good things, which are absolutely true so far as I can see, and it is a good thing that says bad things about the Federal Reserve System. But like I'm telling you, folks, the first time I saw it, I said, that doesn't sound like Jim Traficant to me, number one. Number two, it's longer than anything that Jim Traficant ever used to do whenever he was in Congress. He used to get up and give these very brief, pithy statements about a variety of issues. And you know what, folks? In all those brief, pithy statements, I don't ever recall seeing anything of this tone or even about the Federal Reserve. Now, not that Jim Traficant doesn't believe these things. I don't know. But like I'm telling you, folks, I think that this is a fraud. And you know, I'll tell you what. I've never had the chance to go and actually get a copy of the Congressional Record to see if it was in there. Now, here's the way these things work, folks. Somebody called the American Free Press office several years ago and mentioned this to me, and I said, well, I don't think it's for real. And they got very upset, and they said, well, it was in the congressional record. And I said, well, how do you know it was in the congressional record? And they said, well, it says, and it gives the date and the citation. Well, I tell you what, over the years, I've seen many things circulating on the Internet and before that by fax that purported to be the last word on this topic or that topic, and often giving a citation, and then when you actually go to the source, you find that it never appeared there. Well, then, when I mentioned that to this person I was speaking to, they said, well, if it's not in the congressional record, they took it out because it was so sensitive. Well, now, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, folks. But then, on the other hand, I'm here to tell you that if it were that sensitive in the first place, I don't think they would have ever printed it in the first place. But, you know, there are people who want to believe what they want to believe, and they want to believe that Jim Trafficking actually gave this lengthy speech about the Federal Reserve System and about the American government. And, you know, I'll tell you, I just don't believe it. So I know there's going to be a lot of people who are mad at me for saying that I don't think it's true. And, you know, if I get a chance, I'm going to run over here to Capitol Hill and see if I can get a copy of that issue of the congressional record. But like I say, even if I get a copy of it and say that it's not there, people will say that the New World Order took it out. So, you know, it's a situation where, you know, people want to believe what they want to believe. You know, my horoscope said yesterday something along the lines of, you can't convince people of something that you know to be true, then don't waste your time trying to convince them of it. But it all comes down to this, folks, that, you know, we have enough facts on our side, things that we know to be true, things we know about the Federal Reserve and about the New World Order and about Jewish power in America and its malign influence in our U.S. foreign policy, and about conspiracy and about 9-1-1 and about the Kennedy assassination and all these other things. We have all these facts. Indisputable facts that we don't need to make up things. But there are some people who think it's a very clever idea to conjure up something and put it out there because they think they're doing something good. Well, I'm here to tell you, I think they're doing something bad. In all the years that I have written for the Spotlight and for American Free Press, I don't think I've ever consciously written anything that I didn't believe to be true. Maybe I shouldn't even say that, because you could infer from that that maybe there was one time I wrote something that I didn't believe to be true, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that everything I've ever written, I felt had a foundation in, if I didn't know specifically that there was a foundation in fact for it, that whatever I asserted it based upon a series of facts which could logically lead to a conclusion. But I've certainly never created a phony speech by a very real congressman. And that's what I think happened here. I don't know who put this out originally, but I'm repeating to you now, I just don't think it's real. So in the future, if you want to try to make a point about the Federal Reserve, there's a lot of good information that is out there that we know to be true, that has appeared even in the congressional record and in congressional reports, such as Wright Patman's famous report on the Federal Reserve. He was a member of Congress. It was called A Primer on Money. A lot of that material is out there, folks, so rely on what you know to be true. And if you feel tempted to use this thing by Jim Trafficking, just remember that your old buddy in Washington, Mike Piper, says that he doesn't think it's true, and that there's a lot of other good information you can use to make your point without using information that is of suspect origin. And as I say, I think this is, and I'm going to do what I can to run it down. But to repeat myself for the third time, even if I do find that it wasn't published in the congressional record, people will say that it was made to disappear. Just a little point that I've often wanted to mention about this famous speech by Trafficking, so-called speech by Trafficking. You know, years ago, during the controversy over the Oklahoma City bombing, there was a report in the Washington Post, and I've talked about it on this program. It happened, it must have been the day after the Oklahoma City bombing. It was a reference to the fact that the Anti-Defamation League was cognizant of the fact that Timothy McVeigh had advertised in the Spotlight newspaper, or somebody, or presumably Timothy McVeigh had advertised in the Spotlight. Well, I had picked up an early edition of the Washington Post that day and read it and found it very, very interesting. In the meantime, I misplaced that copy of the paper. And later that afternoon, I picked up another edition of the Washington Post, or I picked up another copy of the Post. And when I went to reread that article and to show it to somebody, it was not there. Now, this was, as it was, it happened to be a later edition of the Post. Well, subsequent to that, there were a number of people who tried to research that issue of the Washington Post where I saw that item, where I saw it mentioned. And would you believe it doesn't even appear in the online archives of the Washington Post? This is a case where the entire story did appear except for possibly two sentences, the two relevant sentences that I had read. And the reason why I know that I read it is because I showed it to many, many people around the Spotlight office. And we talked about it with a number of people over the telephone, including our advertising manager, who then started looking up the records. McVeigh, in fact, had not advertised under his name. He advertised under the name T. Tuttle. But the point is this: other people in the office saw it. It instigated extended discussion in the office. As I say, a number of other people from the outside were brought into the conversation, including a former high-ranking CIA official who was cognizant of some of the intrigues involving the Anti-Defamation League and the Oklahoma City bombing, and some of his contacts. So the point is this: it was there, but then it disappeared. Not the entire story, folks. This was a very, very long story. The rest of the story was reprinted in subsequent issues of editions of that day's issue of the Post, but the particular lines in question had disappeared. But nonetheless, it was enough that we knew exactly what it said, and that is what then caused us to do the research in our own files to confirm that, yes, McVeigh had advertised in the Spotlight something that the Anti-Defamation League had known about roughly a year and a half before the Oklahoma City bombing, which, of course, means very, very clearly that the Anti-Defamation League was either directly following Timothy McVeigh or had somebody close to Timothy McVeigh. We, of course, also know that the Southern Poverty Law Center of Morris Dees had an informant inside the Elohim City compound, as it's been called, spying on the activities of the people there who were in turn connected to McVeigh. And, of course, by this time, it's pretty much known, according to the research of former Marine Lieutenant Colonel Roger Charles and John D. Cash, pretty much known that, in fact, that informant was a character by the name of Andreas Strassmeyer. And he, of course, was very closely associated with so-called nationalist attorney Kirk Lyons. And, of course, by this point, we're all pretty confident that Kirk Lyons was just as much of an informant of sorts as was his good friend and longtime collaborator, Andreas Strassmeyer. Well, bringing this full circle, folks, as I say, sometimes things do disappear, but I don't think the traffic in speech ever appeared except in the very creative mind of someone who thought they could get a good point out there by exploiting Jim Trafficant's good name. And as a reminder, folks, Jim Trafficant still does sit in federal prison, convicted of crimes he did not commit. He's in the federal prison in Rochester, Minnesota. I believe you can get his address at the website jimtrafficant.com. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625. 6625.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Just to bring you an update here on Jim Trafficant. There is a website where you can get some more information about Jim Trafficant's situation. He has been painting pictures while in prison. Actually, some pretty good pictures, too. And you can actually go to a website on the Internet that's selling Jim's pictures. And it has an interesting title. It's called BeamMeUpArt.com. Beam me up, of course, was the famous phrase from Star Trek. And when Jim would be speaking in Congress, he'd say, beam me up, as though he just wanted to get away from the scene there in Washington. So the site not only has Jim's art on it, but it has news about him and an update link. It's beammeupart.com. That's all one word. Beam, B-E-A-M, me, M-E, up, U-P-A-R-T. Beammeupart.com. And incidentally, you know, they give an address where you can write Jim. But if you want to send him a donation, you know, when people are in federal prison, you have to send it to a separate address in Des Moines, Iowa. I don't have that address handy. I've given it out on this show. But remember that if you do send it, you have to send somebody on the internet said send a cashier's check. No, don't send a cashier's check. You have to send a U.S. postal money order. And you have to send that to a separate address with Jim's name and his federal prison number. And send that to an address in Des Moines, Iowa. He is actually in a federal prison. And he's going to be there for a while. He's in a federal prison in Rochester, Minnesota, for crimes he did not commit. So, might not hurt to send him a note. Just tell him hello and give him your support. Incidentally, the Foundation to Defend the First Amendment is going to be sending a donation to Mrs. Trafficant on behalf of her husband. Because if there's anybody who demonstrated what the First Amendment is all about, it's Jim Trafficant. He's a very, very, very good man, and I can't overstate that. Okay, good Lord, we're already close to the half hour here, and we do have a couple callers, and I'm going to bring them up. But I wanted to read you something very interesting by Friedrich Paul Berg. I haven't talked to him in many, many years, but he's written a very interesting essay in light of Veterans Day. And this is, I'm going to read it to you, folks. It's very short and sweet. It's about Anne Frank, the famous Anne Frank. Friedrich Paul Berg writes, Anne Frank was murdered by the Americans. But he says, folks, listen, he makes a good argument for that. Anne Frank was among the dead at Bergen-Belsen. She died there from typhus. Remember, she wasn't gassed, folks. She died there from typhus, even though she had spent many months in Auschwitz in 1944. By late 1944, she'd been evacuated to Bergen-Belsen, where she died 4 months later. Just 2 weeks before the camp was turned over to a British medical team on April 15, 1945, as part, get this, folks, as part of a negotiated truce which had been initiated by the SS, the dread SS, ladies and gentlemen. Now, listen to this. It was the British who had delayed the actual transfer of the camp for several days, perhaps even weeks, because of special security demands they had put on the SS. Anne Frank and countless others had, quote-unquote, survived Auschwitz because the Nazis had wanted them to survive. If the Nazis had wanted them to die, they certainly would have been able to arrange that. But they obviously had no desire to kill her, even though Anne Frank's usefulness to the Nazi war effort would have been close to nil. Of course, the reason being, folks, my editorial comment here, the fact that she was suffering from typhus. The SS and the Nazis had fed Anne Frank and had clothed her with clean, lice-free clothing and provided shelter and security and much more as best they could in spite of the war. If they had simply left her out in the cold winter, she would have died quickly from exposure, but they had kept her warm and alive instead. It was British and American terror bombing and strafing that ultimately murdered Anne Frank, not the Nazis. Her unburied remains were probably still there when the British entered the camp and may even someday be identified someday in a picture. Of course, Friedrich Paul Berg notes, the Americans and Brits had not murdered her intentionally. Anne Frank's death was merely the kind of quote-unquote collateral damage that happens. If she had been merely any German girl of the same age, there would be nothing to talk about. For example, 140 German girls named Anne were murdered in Würzburg on March 16, 1945 by Allied bombing, in which 7,000 people were killed. Interesting. Interesting. That's a very interesting take on the death of Anne Frank from Friedrich Paul Berg, and I'm here to tell you, I think he's absolutely right. You may not like that, but, you know, again, you're here listening because you can handle the truth, no matter how much that truth does sometimes hurt. Well, we are going to the break. And when we come back, one more brief comment and then to the calls. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods?
Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. And your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. A couple quick items, and we are going to the phones. We have a couple callers, and I am determined to get them up here tonight. First of all, I got an email today from somebody asking me about the Nesher Group. Nesher, N-E-S-H-E-R. Nesher is the Hebrew word for eagle. They told me they had tried to do a search for Nesher on the Internet and couldn't find anything about it. They had actually searched Nesher's cell. But needless to say, I don't think if you search Nesher on the Internet, you'll find much about it, for the simple reason that, to the best of my knowledge, it's only been mentioned in a couple places, in American Free Press, and not, to the best of my knowledge, on any American Free Press articles that ever appeared on the Internet. It's been mentioned in the Spotlight, where it was first written about extensively by the late Andrew St. George back in the 1980s initially, and actually may have even been in the 1990s. And it's been mentioned, I believe, in my book, The New Jerusalem, or actually in the Judas Goats. Anyway, I've mentioned it in one or more of my books. But this group does exist. It's not a group that has an office anywhere like the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs. It probably doesn't even have membership dues or even a membership list. But it's a formal but informal, shall we say, group of people in high level positions in the federal bureaucracy and in Congress and elsewhere here in Washington who are devoted to the interests of Israel, and they have, according to our sources back those years, many years ago, they did have meetings. They actually gathered, kind of like as I described in an email to somebody, you know, there's the Bilderberg Group is officially known as the Bilderberg Meetings, but people call it the Bilderberg Group and the Bilderbergers, but it's the Bilderberg Meetings. Well, Nesher does exist, but you're not going to find much about it on the Internet. I do recall seeing one reference to it. I believe it was in the Washington Jewish Week newspaper, and that's many, many years ago, and I may actually have that article somewhere amidst thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of files I have on all sorts of strange little topics. But anyway, that's the story on Nesher. Another item I wanted to mention. There's a new book out by the former head of Romanian intelligence. It's called Programmed to Kill. The author is Ion Mihai Pacepa, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but his last name is spelled P-A-C-E-P-A. His book contends that the Soviet KGB and Soviet leader Khrushchev programmed Lee Harvey Oswald, a dedicated Marxist, to come back to the United States and kill John F. Kennedy. Well, then, according to Mr. Pacepa, Khrushchev changed his mind, but Oswald was out of control, and Oswald went ahead and killed John F. Kennedy. And then, according to Mr. Pacepa, the Soviet KGB, knowing what a problem they had, started to propagandize to suggest that the CIA had killed Kennedy. And in this book, Pacepa contends that Mark Lane, the anti-Zionist Jewish attorney and JFK assassination investigator who I talked about last night, was being indirectly funded by the Soviet KGB. Well, first of all, that's a lie, number one. Number two, Mr. Pacepa's lie is based on a lie that was previously put out by a character named, his last name is Andrew. I think his first name is Christopher Andrew. He's a British writer who has been associated with the CIA and British intelligence. And he's put out a series of books which purport to be information smuggled out of the KGB offices by a Soviet defector. Well, very, very interesting, as I pointed out in Final Judgment, commenting on that book upon which Pacepa has based his lies. That book is very, very interesting because if you read it, you would never know that Israel or Zionism even existed. Well, this guy Pacepa, since he defected from Romania, has been a favorite of the neoconservatives, and they promote a lot of his writings. And it's funny because I remember that he was, some years ago, one of the supposed key sources that was being promoted on the subject of Al-Qaeda. So I started doing some research to time, and it's pretty much clear to me that this Mr. Pacepa, who's certainly in the hands and has been in the hands of the CIA and Western intelligence for a long time, is also, for all intents and purposes, a Mossad propagandist. Keeping that in mind, this might explain why the infamous Nicolae and Elena Ceaușescu of Romania, now they were not nice people by any means, folks, but, and you know, they received a lot of bad publicity, which is unusual in the Western media because the Western media has always had a history of saying that communist dictators were really not such bad guys. Well, if you read Pacepa's earlier book, Red Horizons, which is an extended attack on Nicolae and Elena Ceaușescu, you find out, according to Pacepa, that Mr. Ceaușescu, the communist dictator of Romania, made such comments, and I quote, as, "Jewish money is taking over America. If it's not stopped, the Zionist conspiracy will take over the whole capitalist world." This is according to Pacepa, quoting Mr. Ceaușescu. Ceaușescu also apparently was said to have told Philip Kolesnik, the president of the World Jewish Congress, that, quote, "Romania has a proletarian dictatorship form of government. America has a Jewish dictatorship form of government." Another choice quote from Ceaușescu, referring to Ceaușescu, somebody said, we know his real feelings toward Israel. We know he is moving all Jews out of sensitive government jobs in Romania. We know he only wants to give people something for public consumption. Well, maybe that explains why poor old Ceausescu and his wife got such negative publicity in the mass media in America. Maybe Ceausescu knew something about the American form of government that most Americans don't know. Just a thought. All right, well, here's somebody in the know. Jim from Texas. Let's bring Jim up. What do you think, Jim?
Mike, it gives me no great pleasure to admonish you again ever so slightly and with
okay.
the best of intentions. Okay? You continually use the word Zionist, and it grinds in my guts when anybody uses the word Zionist. Unless they can prove to me that the Pharaoh in Egypt threw the Jews out, didn't throw the Jews out, only threw the Zionists out, okay?
Every country in Europe,
some of them several times, only threw Zionist or communist or anarchist. They only threw them out. They didn't throw this certain ethnic group out, okay? Nothing
I agree
makes
with
sense
you 100%.
Until you realize this. They threw out an ethnic group called the Jews. They didn't throw out the Zionists or the anarchists or the communists or anybody else. It's been going on for thousands of years, and yet everybody seems willing to give a fig leaf, say, well, I don't have any problem with the Jews. I only have a problem with the Zionists. Hello?
You know, Jim, I'm glad you brought that up, Jim, because I wanted to comment, actually, on that very topic here this evening. I've listened to a couple broadcasts of some alternative radio, and of course I read quite a bit and everything. And you know, you're absolutely right about that. It does continue to amaze me. I've actually heard people say, "Well, I'm not against the Jews. I'm just against the Zionists." And in the next breath, they will quote the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And if anybody of any intelligence reads the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, it's very clear that the protocols are not the product of a Zionist mind. They are the product of an international, globalist, Talmudic, Jewish mind, because the Protocols of Zion do not say, oh, we Jews would like to have our Zionist homeland in the Middle East. And that's what Zionism is. A movement to establish the specific definition of Zionism is a specific movement, to establish a Jewish homeland in the Middle East. The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion are a program for conquest of the entire world by the Jews. So your point, Jim, you are absolutely 100% correct.
Mike, the protocols described exactly how we intend to control the whole world.
Absolutely, and it has nothing to do with a Zionist state in Palestine or in Uganda or anywhere
else. It never
else.
Mentioned Theodore Herzl. It never mentioned Palestine. It never mentioned the modern state of Israel. It didn't mention anything except this is how we intend to control the entire world.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I tell you, I try to use, when I use the term Zionist, I try to use it in a specific sense. I try to avoid using it in that broad sense that you're talking about. In fact, I'll tell you a funny little story. One time I had written a story for the old Spotlight years ago, and I was making reference to, I used the term Jewish, and one of the editors said, well, maybe we should use the term Zionist because that'll upset people less. And I said, well, now, wait a minute here. If you change the word Jewish to Zionist, it will actually change the entire meaning of it. And then the editor looked at it, and he said, well, you know, you're absolutely right. So the term Jewish remained. But Zionism is a very specific thing, and there was a problem with the organized Jewish community throughout history. As you say, long before there was ever talk about a state in Palestine, which of course now today we refer to as Israel. And you know what it is, Jim? a lot of people think that by saying the word Zionist and substituting that for the word Jewish, that they lessen the impact of what they're saying. But, you know, as I always point out here, there's a lot of people out there who say, well, I'm not concerned about the issue of Zionism in the Middle East and Israel. I'm only concerned about, for example, you know, gun control. Well, look at the groups that are lobbying for gun control here in the United States. The American Jewish Congress, the American Jewish Committee, the Anti-Defamation League. They all do happen to be Zionist groups, but these groups were all in existence long before the State of Israel. And in fact, the American Jewish Committee for many years was actually anti-Zionist, but they switched after the establishment of the State of Israel. So Jim, your point is absolutely 100% correct. And, you know, I know that there are people out there who are very, very sensitive to the use of the word Jewish, but when it comes right down to it, 99.999% of the American Jewish community is pro-Zionist. So, you know, it's the very few Jews who are out there who are anti-Zionist. Let's give credit where credit is due. But the fact is that in terms of the bigger picture, the Jewish community, as represented by the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, their leaders have been plotting for generations for world conquest, and that's what the New World Order is all about, although a lot of people don't want to think that. They want to say it's the CFR and the Illuminati.
Yeah. Illuminati, Bilderbergers, Black Popes, Green Cardinals, any other name they can give it except the actual name that it is. And that's what Zionism does. If you say the word Zionist, you're automatically giving them a fig leaf, okay? You're giving them the fig leaf to let them off the hook, and that's why I refuse to use that word, because it's not Zionist. Was it a Zionist when they were thrown out of Queen Isabella threw them out of Spain in 1492? Did she say, all you Zionists got to leave, but the rest of you wonderful Jews can stay? I don't think she said that.
Jim, I will not even try to argue with you because you're 100% right.
I'll let you get on.
All right,
yeah,
I got to roll on. But, you know, Jim, like I say, I'm glad you brought it up because, you know what, that was something I intended to bring up, but I wanted to get to the phone calls, and you brought it up. So good for you, Jim.
Okay, talk to you later, Mike.
Okay. Very good point, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you listened to that exchange very carefully. It may have been painful, but you know what? You can handle the truth. Let's go to Mike in Illinois. Mike, come on up.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Mike, how you doing? And I heard you on Hashem Talawi's show the other day. I was listening in.
Yeah, yeah, I called in. I was surprised that Mark Lund knew who I was right away. I was quite, I took that as a form of flattery.
I'm sure it was meant as such. Anyway, what's going on, Mike?
If he's listening, just say hi to Mark. I was going to talk about something else, but
Go ahead.
But Jim just brought that up, and I hate to disagree with you guys, but I'm going to take that leap and do it. I try to make a distinction between Jews and Zionists because in my mind, majority of Jews, the dentist down the street, my neighbor across the street who is an accountant, even though they may support Israel, I don't think they're activists. And I would point to the evidence that the majority of the Jewish American Jews in this country pre-Iraq war were against the war at a higher rate than your average Joe WASP American was. So,
let me tell you something, Mike. I've heard those polls, and, you know, frankly, I don't believe it for the simple reason that Saddam Hussein has been so long conjured up as a villain. And he was conjured up as a potential enemy of Israel, and so many of the organized Jewish groups, which are funded from the grassroots, were lobbying heavily for a war against Iraq. Now they're trying to back off on it. Now your point about the average American Jew, is true enough. I don't think that the average American Jew sits around worrying about Israel. I don't believe that. I think it's largely overstated. But on the other hand, and Jim has made this point on the show in the past when we've talked about this subject, that when push comes to shove, most of these people react instinctively and will side on the Israeli side. I think, in my opinion, they will side with the Israeli lobby before they will side with the rest of us. Now, I understand. I'll tell you what, I'm going to be a diplomat here. I'm going to say that I think there's probably a middle ground from where Jim and I stand and from where you stand. But the problem, I guess the real problem, Mike, is that it has come to such a point in our society today, and this is, I think, the big point when it all comes right down to it, that there is such a suppression of discussion about the topic that anytime anyone does bring up the Israeli lobby and the Israeli lobby, which constitutes, you know, the money of so many Jewish people in America, whenever there's a discussion of it, people get hysteric.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
All right, folks, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington. We've got Mike from Illinois aboard. Mike responding to a discussion between our previous caller, Jim, who actually instigated a discussion which I had wanted to bring up but didn't bring up because I wanted to bring Jim and the callers up. So he got something going that's worth pursuing. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, and yeah. I want to say that it's funny we're talking about this because this was a topic of my call to Hashem show on Saturday.
As a matter of fact, I remember that now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on Tuesdays to Thursdays, I was listening to this Israeli radio show, and they got this Jewish supremacist rabbi on there who spouts his, you know, hate and love, hate for the Arabs and love for Israel, and they got a chat room where mostly Americans are, and probably a quarter of them at least are Christian Zionists, which really turns my stomach, supporting Israel. And they kicked me out of the chat room for really no good reason, just for dissenting. And just as an aside, I would say that Frank from Canada, I know he's going to debate that professor soon.
Right, right. Next Monday, as a matter of fact, yeah.
If he wants to debate anytime he wants on weeknights, just I'll email him. Go to that radio show and really match wits with this supremacist rabbi. But basically, my point was they kicked me out because I dissented, and I was trying to tell the host, who's a rabbi, that you know, it's the Zionists, not the Jews. And I slipped up and I used the word Jew at the end of the conversation. He immediately cut me off and said, "Yeah, we know what you really mean." So,
well, you see, that was the other point I was going to bring up, that, you know, it's very interesting. As I say, I hear a lot of people say, "Oh, I'm only anti-Zionist, I'm not anti-Jewish." But the funny thing about that is the Anti-Defamation League and all these other groups which play such a major part in deciding what's acceptable discussion in this country, they laugh when they hear that. They laugh because they say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, he just says he's anti-Zionist. He's really anti-Jewish." They have skewed that whole discussion such that I often feel sorry for people, and I'm not talking about you in particular, Mike, but other people I've heard saying, "Well, I'm only a critic of Zionism. I'm not a critic of the Jews." But the problem is so many Jews are Zionists that, you know, to criticize Zionism, you're criticizing something which is now a fundamental part of Jewish thinking, to the point that if you read Jewish philosophical and religious discussions, a lot of them now say that the state of Israel itself is integral to modern Jewish thinking, not modern Zionist thinking, modern Jewish thinking. So, you know, people who get into this discussion in any realm are between a rock and a hard place. Whereas, well, you know, go ahead.
I did call up a mainstream radio station a while ago, and I was saying how Rupert Murdoch's, you know, such a bad influence on the media. And he says, "Well, why? Well, what does he do?" And I mentioned how he's a Zionist. And, you know, he laughed or whatever. And the caller after me said, "Well, why is this guy bringing up Zionism? As you know, as far as I know, Zionism just means they want a homeland for the Jews." And the host is like, "Yeah, they just want their own homeland. What's the big deal with Zionism?" So in the mainstream, Zionism is almost a positive term in the mainstream.
Well, actually, you know, that's a very good point, and it actually plays along in some respects with what Jim was talking about. So, well, we are running out of time here, as we always do. But I appreciate your call, Mike, as always. So
thanks a lot, Mike.
I will close out the hour here with apologies to those we couldn't bring up and with wishes that we all have a good evening ahead and that we'll all be here safe and sound tomorrow, God willing. Have a good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned for more good programs.